People, we are now live. Welcome to episode 28, something like that, of the Cricket Talks podcast. I am Mohammed, Mo Blogs, whatever you want to refer me to as. This is episode 28 of the Cricket Talks podcast, where we discuss all things international cricket, franchise cricket. And yeah, there's a lot of Pakistan cricket, I'll be honest. There's a lot of Pakistan cricket, but I do try to talk about other nations when Pakistan isn't playing, since the guys in green are the team that I follow the most. So we'll go on to what to be here for, which is the Pakistan Super League game. This is my first solo episode in a very long time. I mean, these sort of episodes I normally get guests on, Aaron, Will Burford. I've had Astrid from Cricket for Us 2.0, which I'm sure you guys know, since he has a hell of a lot more subscribers than I do. But yeah, there's a lot to talk through with today's game. This is probably one of the most exciting games I've come across in the PSL so far. It was a Quetta Gladiators versus Multan Sultans. Quetta Gladiators, obviously a side that needed a win. They've been bottom of the table. They came bottom last year. They've had a stinker of a last season. They've had a stinker of this season as well, man. They haven't been getting or hitting the mark at all, even though they made signings in Chris Gayle and Tom Banton, which is meant to be one of the biggest signings available. So, people, I'm going to go through all the teams. I'm going to go through the player selections, the performances, any topics that I think are important to mention about. As I always do when I have guests only, I'll be giving my opinion only. So I want you guys to let me know. If you're on Twitter, come onto YouTube. If you can, it's Mo Blogs. Go and join me. Send in your thoughts. Everyone who sends in their thoughts in these sort of live podcast episodes do get mentioned and shout out. So you're literally part of the podcasts. For as long as a podcast lives, which is, I hope, as long as possible. So make sure you join in, share your thoughts and be involved. So we're going to get through the teams. Obviously, Quetta Gladiators went into the side with those obvious changes. Multan obviously won the toss first, putting Quetta into bat, which has been so far the case where every side that has chosen to bowl first has ended up winning, just chasing. We're about 11 games running where the chasing side has won. And that's obviously been flipped around today. So that's obviously an exciting thing to talk about. The curse of the NSK, which has been obviously talked about by the likes of Arif Nawaz, has been lifted finally. Yeah, they went into the side having to bat first, automatically putting the pressure on them since they need the win. They were at four losses into the tournament. They lost every single game. I'm not exactly sure how many games you need to lose until it's confirmed that you're not making the playoffs, because I don't really keep up with that. With the back end of the tournament, where we head near things like net run rate, points really start to kick in. But from the Lahore perspective, I'm not particularly worried about that. But Quetta Gladiators, they're four losses in or three losses in. They needed this win by all means. They can't really be losing any more games. Otherwise, they might as well kiss playoffs goodbye, essentially. Given the fact that I went to the tournament thinking they had a weak side, and they really just displayed that. You know, Chris Gayle ended up having to go for all after about two, three games. He scored 100s. He scored 100 across those games, leaving with like an average of 50-odd. And then they lost Tom Banton, who was out for a couple games after some low scores and has just been called out for COVID. So I don't think there's going to be any replacements available, given the fact that they're in bubbles. And I don't think you can get replacement players like that. They're going to have to make do with the players they have, which were the supplementary ones in Usman Khan and Dale Steyn, who are both used today. I think Usman was a supplementary pick, and what a pick he turned out to be. But we'll get on to that. Obviously, they were sent into bat first. Usman Khan was brought in for his debut game of the tournament, his debut game in the PSL, as far as I'm concerned. I've never seen him play before, I'll be very honest. I'm not sure how Quetta picked him up, whether they have a development program of their own, which is starting to come about, compared to Lahore Qalandars, which is obviously the biggest one, maybe in world cricket, in world T20 franchise cricket. We'll see how it goes. But he came into bat with Saim Ayoub, who hasn't really been kicking either. He's had a couple games where he's looked really, really nice with the bat, getting off to some nice starts, some nice boundaries. But overall, his attitude and the mental way of how the way he went around his innings was very, very mixed. You could see at some points he was going aggressive, some points he was just nipping it around, knocking it around for those singles. But overall, there wasn't really a structured way as he was going around it. And I put that, a lot of it, I put towards his confidence. I don't have depth right now. That being said, I was excited to see him play, because some of the shots I saw him play, I think the last game, were actually really nice. He scored some nice fours from the very first over. So I was looking forward to him to play. I think Astrid mentioned, well, he might have had him on his podcast on his YouTube channel, so make sure you check him out. But I think he mentioned that he had an interview with him, and he's generally an aggressive top order batsman anyway. So I was kind of waiting for that, to be honest. I've really seen drives from him and him knocking it around off the pads and flicking it off the hips. So it was good to see him get started. He had an incredible start. Him and Usman Khan, obviously, as if you watched the match, you saw they put the first, as far as I know, the first partnership that's lasted throughout the power play and gone outside of it, in which the Multans one was the second, as far as I know. But that was a big partnership, even though Sime Ayoub got out for about 20-odd. But shout out to Ashley, I want to say as well, shout out to Azeem Rafiq. He was the Yorkshire pro at Yorkshire County Cricket Club. And he mentioned on Twitter that the player that he looked out for, I think Tanzil Hawaja, who works at Sky Sports Cricket, I think as a writer or something in production. And he did a preview for Sky Sports on the players you should look out for in the upcoming tournament. And Azeem Rafiq actually quote tweeted it, saying that Usman Khan was his pick. And as far as I know, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, that Usman Khan was a supplementary pick for the Quaid Gladiators, and he picked him as a player to look out for. So 11 games in, 4 or 5 games in for the Gladiators, it was good to see that off his very first opportunity, he got his 50 and ended up going on to make 83 not out, or 83, sorry, something like that. So that was really good to see from him. But they obviously had that partnership. KS Ahmed was obviously in for Nasim Shah, who went for 10.67 across his 3 overs the last game. So Nasim was a little bit expensive. He's definitely not in the best form he has been for a while. But that being said, you can't write him off because he is the future. There's so many times that people get onto players for having bad performances, and the way Pakistan go about their selections, you can't bring players in at 16, 17, 18, 19, even 20 years old, maybe even push it to 22 if you're going away around. Other countries do it. You can't bring them in for a couple series, them not performing at their best, and then literally discarding them, because we've seen that happen with so many players. It happens all the time with debut players. Majority of them don't end up playing their full potential at the international level. A lot of them don't end up making it. We've seen that, but players making a comeback, such as Darwin Malan. He came into the England side through the test team for Middlesex, had a rocky start, ended up scoring that 100 in the Ashes, I think 2018, something like that. And then got dropped after that for a while. The T20 side, which is the only side he represents now, ironically. So you've got to give him time, man. Nasim Shah, we've seen his debut against Australia in Australia. And he was rocking around, Usman Khawaja. So he has so much potential. He has so much pace that you can't just discard him away. So it's so important that you give him time, no matter how long he's taken. He's 17. He could get these kind of mistakes for the next 3 years. And in that time, he'll be 20 years old. And you could look at a player who's so much more mature, and you're looking at a Shaheen potentially, like for like of Shaheen, who is right-handed. So you've got to give him time. It's really not a thing of discarding while he's still 17, because then he'll go to domestic cricket and just be a domestic veteran, which with his pace and his aggression and his passion for the game, it's really not ideal to be using a player like that. Obviously, KS Ahmed was in for that Nasim Shah, who had a horrible debut for the PSL. I think he went for about 43 runs off 3 or 4 overs on debut. Probably one that he doesn't want to remember. That being said, I wouldn't be putting it past him. KS Ahmed is an upcoming star in world cricket, let alone Afghanistan cricket. And, you know, a lot of players have come into the PSL, like I've said in another episode, a couple episodes ago for this PSL preview series, or during the PSL, and I said a lot of players have come into the PSL and they've just not performed. It is what it is. A lot of players, a lot of world stars, a lot of upcoming stars have come to the PSL off the back of good performances, and they get picked up by a Pakistan side and they just don't put in the numbers. We're seeing that with the likes of Chris Gayle, who is 4 seasons into his time at the Pakistan Super League and has only started putting up runs, in which he had to leave 2 games in. He's never really performed for Lahore Qalandars. He played about 2 seasons, I think, for the Karachi Kings, and I don't remember him putting up too many runs then. We've seen that with other countless players that have come through. So it's really not a thing of him to be worried too much about. And obviously we saw in today's game how much better he was, how much more confident he was. And there's some things that I'd want to point out at the end that might be the reason for it. And obviously you had Multan, on the other hand, who went around their selections with dropping Chris Lynn, the world superstar at T20 cricket in the top order, one of the most aggressive T20 franchise batsmen you come across at that number one or number two position. And he hasn't had a great time either. For a platinum pick, coming off the back of something being like the fifth leading run scorer, how did he finish up? He finished with a 40 average across 284 runs in 8 innings, being the fifth leading run scorer of the tournament in 2019 for Lahore Qalandars. He scored a century not out against Multan themselves. So for him, it was a weird start. It's been a weird stint for him overall in the PSL. So hopefully he can sort that out. But it's really, maybe it's the case of he wants to come back to Lahore. I wouldn't be too mad at that. We could use an opener for Sahil Akhtar and Sahil maybe going back to number three or number four, depending on how Hafiz works. But yeah, it's not been the greatest start. As a Lahore Qalandars fan, I'm very happy about that, because that means it's just less pressure on us when we face Multan. Multan's top order, Multan's top four is probably one of the strongest available. They had Chris Lynn, and even though he's not here, they've got James Vince, Mohammad Rizwan, who are both in the form of their life. James Vince has come off a Sydney Sixers tournament win in the Big Bash League, and Mohammad Rizwan scoring countless 50s and 100s. He just won't stop scoring runs, and I'll probably make a point later on about why I think it is, and it's bigger than form, I'll just put it that way. And then who else have they got? They've got Sean Masood, they've got, I think Adam Lyth is still available, Sahir Maksud. They've just got countless players available at the top order, so their top order depth's really good. Even that being said, they took the L today, so it is what it is. Sean Masood obviously came in for him, who is what I believed to be his first game of the tournament, as far as I know. And he wasn't too bad last tournament either. He had 11 innings and scored one run less than Chris Lynn, despite having three more innings than him. He had an average of 28, and I still think he's a little underrated as a top order batsman. You know, I think, sorry me, he doesn't get, I think it's not necessarily him not getting his flowers, but it's more so him, people look over him. They overlook him for but the potential he does have. Because he only makes the Pakistan Test side, I don't think he's ever played Pakistan ODI cricket. I don't think he's ever played Pakistan T20 cricket. He's never really looked at as the top order batsman available for first string. So teams overlook him. I think a lot of players in world cricket, a lot of fans in world cricket would overlook him. But he puts up runs at the end of the day. He has an aggressive side to him, as weird as that sounds, a bit like Imam Al-Haq in that sense of the top order for Peshawar, but he does have that. So he was brought in. Obviously, he didn't pay dividends today, but it is what it is. And Imran Tahir was obviously brought in for, as far as I know, his first game of the tournament as well this season, replacing the leg spinner in Usman Qadir, who obviously has been having decent form recently. Imran Tahir is not someone who's had amazing stats in the PSL. That being said, he's always been there. He's always been a dominant force. And at 40 plus years old, he's still providing that. Those are the changes made. Imran Shahid Afridi was obviously taken out as well. Imran Khan was brought in for his first game, who is just a seamer. I wouldn't say he's an amazing seamer. If I was at Lahore, I wouldn't be pumped to have him. But he does the job, essentially. I wouldn't put him as, you know, any higher of a rank that he's already given. But let's go straight into the game, as I've rambled enough about selections. Sam Ayoub and Usman obviously getting off to the biggest partnership that we've seen in the tournament so far, for the Gladiators. And compared to, obviously, that expected partnership of Chris Gayle and Tom Banton, this has been a really good partnership to see. The dynamics, the way their dynamics worked was really, really nice, because Sam Ayoub was taking a little bit longer, which happens. It happens to the best of players. He took a little bit longer at the beginning of the innings, while Usman Khan was literally powering from ball one. But then he got into the rhythm. He had a sliced six over cover. He then scored a square drive for four, So he was batting really, really nicely. I liked the way they both went about it. And yeah, they just looked a li they looked very, very comfortable. Usman Khan looks like his natural game is aggression. He went for that immediately. And this strike rate, Usman, like I said, started a little bit lower whilst Usman started a little bit higher whilst Sime was taking his time, and then they kind of worked their way up until who got out to who. I can't remember who got out to who. I think Imran Thahir took both wickets at the top order, but it was their best ever start. They needed that partnership going into the game, needing because number three, number four is Sarfraz Ahmed, and I'll put it on Sarfraz. I think he has ability. He scored quite a few good innings this season, but Azam Khan, I think, is more suited to batting somewhere between 10 overs onwards. I don't think he has it in him to bat 15 overs and rebuild an innings and lift a strike rate at 150 plus on the back end of an innings. So it was so important that Azam Khan and sorry that Sime Ayoub and Usman Khan put up a big partnership. Otherwise, I didn't think the innings was going to last at all. Obviously, then they both lost their wicket. Usman scoring 83 on debut, which is outstanding to see. I don't know where credit been hiding it, but Sime making 23 odd, which is it's an okay knock, but it wasn't. I was disappointed in him because he had so much more to offer that game, and he just couldn't put it out. But they were both looking very nice as upcoming players at the top order, which isn't an easy task by any means. Faf and Azam came in, who didn't really last either. They both made about 11 or 17 runs each. And Azam had a couple nice shots. He had that six down the ground. He had that four. But yeah, nothing amazing from them. And that was disappointing because Faf's experience, Azam's potential, we would have expected them to really carry it through. They came in with about, I think, 10 overs left to bat anyway. So those were, it was disappointing for them to see. And like I said, with the bowlers, Imran Khan took that wicket, and Shah Nawaz obviously had different ideas. They were LBW and bowled respectively. The game literally then at that point turned on its head because you had that big partnership of I don't know how many runs, 50 to 80 runs partnership, and it flipped on its head because they were two down, and then they went four down literally within 2 overs. So Sarfraz coming in with cutting obviously coming in again. I feel like out of his depth, despite how much experience he's had, I don't think he has it in him to build an innings from 10 overs all the way through to 20. He's much better suited if you're giving him 17th over in and you're told you've got 3 wickets available with all-rounders behind you or players like Anwar Ali who have the ability to hit a long ball, and you're given the permission to give it everything you've got, and I think that's when he plays his natural game. Sarfraz Ahmed is obviously much more suited to that, but Sarfraz today looked so off. He just didn't look comfortable at all. Everywhere, every shot he played, he just wasn't middling it, and it was a matter of time until he got out. But the way he went about it was so stupid because he went away from his stumps, tried to play an unorthodox shot, ended up getting himself out bowled cleanly because he obviously went away from his stumps and didn't have anything on it. Cutting got out again to again another bowler coming through, Shah Nawaz Dhani, who is just amazing. So much energy, really quick, disciplined bowling from him. And he just has so much energy and passion for the game. You can see that with his chemistry with Carlos Brathwaite, and I'll give it to them on that. Then Nawaz came in, putting up a fight. He had about 30 odd last game. I don't know if he got out, I can't remember if he got out, but he put 20 of 10 in this game. He had some nice shots before he getting out. Once again to Dhani when he nicked it. And yeah, Gladiators finished with 176 of their 20 with just 3 extras given away, which just speaks levels of how good their performances were with the ball. They had a couple of misfields maybe, but overall the bowling has been very decent. I'll put it that way. I think there was a couple disappointing overs from Carlos Brathwaite and etc. Even Carlos is looking so much better this season. I've got to give it hats off to him. He's been very, very good with the ball. And they put up 176 for 7. I personally felt that was under par. I think they were about 20, 25 runs short of being very much in the game. So I personally thought it was done and dusted. It was just another game where the chasing side won in Multan Sultans. But we obviously credit Gladiators had different ideas. In terms of the bowlers, Shah Nawaz is a little bit expensive, but he took those 3 wickets. And what a bowler he's turning out to be. Imran Thahir bowled well, going for about 7 1/4 per off his 4 overs. Imran Thahir bowled, sorry, Imran Thahir. And obviously, Carlos Brathwaite went, I think, for about 10.7 in Hushto Sharbolden over, where he went for about 5 rounds, which is a decent over, to be honest. But I wouldn't be surprised with Imran Tahir and Usman Khadr, they're pretty much like for like players. None of them really offer with the bat until we saw Imran Tahir today, but none of them really offer too much with the bat in terms of confidence. And their bowling is very, very similar. They have similar actions. We've seen their leg break comparison by the commentators. They have literally like for like bowling. So it's not a case of, as long as they're both fit, it's just really on the day who feels better in practice and etc. And that player makes the 11. I don't think it'll make a huge difference either way. So that's, I think, where Mazdan Sultan would be really happy about the fact that they can have two players like for like the way Nawaz and Imad Wasim on the Pakistan side, but they've got them both in the same side in franchise cricket, which is sick to see. And then Mazdan went out to bat chasing 176. Rizwan and Vince got up to an amazing start. But another big opening partnership which went through the power play, which I think was the second time this tournament, either way, it was the second time this game, which is a big thing to happen. And Rizwan just looking so confident once again. I'll say it here. I'm gonna make a podcast episode, people, if you're listening. I'm gonna make a podcast episode about Rizwan's batting, or I'm gonna make a writing piece about it, or something like that. I'm gonna do it at some point. Just bear with me, but I'm gonna do something about it because Rizwan's batting, it's not just good form. I'll be very honest. It's not just good form. It's a whole attitude change to the way he goes about his cricket. When he was batting before, I'll be honest, I can't remember exactly how he was a lot. He was just as technical when he was batting before this big run of good form. He was just as technical. I don't think he had the power hitting ability. I don't think he was as confident in those sort of shots. But in recent times, when you're seeing all these performances, it's honestly just an attitude change. There's nothing special that he's doing with these shots. Yes, apart from the power hitting, but that's not every other ball. You're not putting up strike rate of 300. He's just putting up, he's just approaching the game with a really good attitude. Positive cricket, rotating strike, getting to the pitch of the ball and knocking it in the gaps, and then forcing the players when they're going for five and over to potentially go something, do something extravagant, where they and then they over pitch it or got bowled too short, and Rizwan would take advantage of that and grab a boundary, which will make the over go from a decent six and over economy to then 10, 12, etc. So that's what I think it is. I think it's so much bigger than form. I feel like we're going to see this kind of cricket from Rizwan for a while, as long as he stays fit and injury free, honestly. So that's the thing I'm really excited about. I feel like this is going to be a lot longer than people are expecting it to be. It's not going to be a couple of weeks sort of thing. But Vince started obviously equally as well, scoring 24, 21 before getting nicked. He tried to bat against, I think it was Zahid Mahmood, and he played, a, he tried, he didn't read the spin as much. It just turned way too much and he nicked it straight to Sarfraz's hands. But there was a question of the bowling in the power play. Was bowling Nawaz, should they bowl Nawaz? Which is a fair point. He's bowled in the power play before and he can be economical, but let's change the caption. Vince has very good numbers against left-arm spin, so I guess that's the reason why Sarfraz wanted to lay off it and use the other right-handed spinners. So that probably made more sense why they went about it. So it would have been too risky as well, given the total of the defending. They need to be as risk declined, is that the word? Risk adverse is probably better, as much as they can. Masood coming in, getting out immediately to Qais Ahmed. It went for a sweep shot, I think. Completely missed it. LBW, he reviewed it, but it was a stupid one. But it was important the umpire gave it because Sarfraz used his two reviews literally within 8 overs. The first 8 overs wasted him completely. And what was I was annoyed about was one of them was for an LBW review. And looking back at the review when they were going shot by shot, you could see when the ball hit the pads, Sarfraz Ahmed was going across as if the ball was going to miss and he was going to catch the ball a yard or two to his left anyway. So that should have been an indication when he was doing it that, he shouldn't have gone for it, because he was going left anyway. But either way, it was a stupid review, but it was so important the umpire gave that out because that could have changed the course of the game, honestly. But yeah, they got out LBW. Rizwan continued to apply that pressure with positive batting, I just good bang, going forward to the spinner's lofted drives and then sweeping the next ball to Zahin Mahmood, who was looking really nice. He was then going for risky shots, which then Zahid had to really brush off, if anything. Yeah, there was a ball outside off stump at length, where he was just sweeping. He sweeped it, I think, over Cal for a four. And there's nothing you could do about it. You can't, there's no point changing your bowling because Mohammad Rizwan played that kind of shot. This, because then you're going to do something stupid. And that's just a risk inclined shot that you just have to brush off and accept as a spinner. It's going to happen. He brought up his 50 soon after with that lofted drive, which was going for a single, and then Usman Khan misfielded it and it went for a boundary. So it went for 5 runs and he brought up his 50 once again. I don't know how many runs he scored this tournament. I'm pretty sure he's a leading run scorer this tournament. He has to be. Sorry. And he got out to his 50. Sahib got out the next ball after a silly shot, which is literally caught by Kiting, Hushtan and Carlos, who really needed to. They were kind of the last defences in a sense. They both got out early, about 7 apiece or something like that. Carlos going for the big shot, getting caught out. And Hushtel getting caught out after some good shots as well. Hushtel isn't having the best run. He hasn't had a lot of opportunity batting at 6, where he's given an over and a half to bat in, but he's not exactly putting up runs either. So it's going to be interesting to see how the PCB, actually going bigger than the PSL, go about the rest of his selection going into the green top, which isn't looking too good for him right now. Sahil Khan coming in with Rizwan, who refuses to give up. And this is when I started to believe that maybe the curse would have been lifted, is when Sahil Khan came in, because I don't know Sahil Khan for being too much of a batsman compared to other batsmen, bowlers who can bat, like Wahab Riaz, Anwar Ali. But he comes in, he launches Zahid for a slog over Cal, gets his 6. Rizwan tried the same shot, but he did it against a leg break going down, and he played against the spin, getting caught out deep square leg because he just didn't have enough leverage on it. So he got caught out. And Hasnain picked him out at deep square leg. And the game at that point was obviously, in my eyes, done and dusted. Credit Gladiators deservedly got the win with some excellent bowling, despite expensive overs from the likes of Dale Steyn. And Sahil came in. Sahil got out. Imran came in. What happened? Imran Dahir, I think he hit a 6 himself before he got caught on the boundary by Faf du Plessis. Zahid was the one who bowled him out. Dahir skies onto cutting. Hasnain finished well with the 18th over, I think, getting hit for one boundary. Other than that, bowling some really nice length balls, trying to shake up Imran Dahir. And the final over was bowled by Dale Steyn, out of all people who were expensive. But his wealth of experience, I guess, meant that he could bowl that final over. And he did. He bowled that final over. Kept going short. I don't remember him going for any Yorkers, despite the commentators kept asking him or trying to encourage him, even though they can't speak to him, trying to tell him to bowl or suggesting that he should be bowling fuller balls, but he didn't. He kept trying to hit Shahnawaz. Shahnawaz got out and they got their first W. Sarfraz and the Quetta Gladiators got their first W, ironically, without the likes of Chris Gill, without the likes of Tom Benton, using two emerging players at the top order, using Gaius Ahmed, who had a horrible debut game. Out of all the playing 11s you could possibly imagine, this is probably not at the highest by any means. And Quetta Gladiators still managed to make the win. There's obviously poor batting in the middle orders from the guys at Multan. That being said, good bowling. Mohammad Hasnain in the wickets again. Zahid Mahmood is in a very interesting character because despite getting hit, he doesn't seem too phased. He gets really good turn on the ball. I feel like the second half of the tournament, we're going to get a hell of a lot of value for his wickets, for his bowling, sorry. And yeah, overall, just better bowling from Quetta Gladiators. They lifted the curse at the National Stadium of Karachi that you can win games defending a total as we head towards Lahore anyway. But it was good to see from them, man. It really showed that it was possible to lift it out of all teams to defend a total, especially at 176. It was good to see that Quetta Gladiators did it. Whether there's still enough time to get into the playoffs is a whole nother question, but it is what it is. Sarfraz got their first game. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. But yeah, this has been episode 28 of the Cricket Talks podcast. Before I finish up, do I think Credit Gladiators can make the playoffs, even if it is possible? No. Do I think Multan can? I think they still have the ability to. I think their top order is so overpowered. I don't think they're run by their leg spin at all, with their two leg spinners and Carlos Brathwaite with the ball. I don't think that's going to dictate it. I'm also going to do another episode at some point about Multan's future as a test side, the T20 side. Obviously, they dropped Mohammad Ilyas, who's at Karachi, and finally getting some wickets. But they've got Shahnawaz Dhani, they've got Hushdul Shah, they've got Shan Masood, but they've got aging players as well, man. It's going to be interesting, an interesting episode to think about and make. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like, comment, subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're on Spotify, if you're on iTunes, please follow the podcast, review and rate. Those are the stuff that pushes me up the charts. I heard I'm number 8 in Norway, apparently. So big up all my Norwegian listeners. But yeah, big up all of you guys. Keep streaming my stuff to push me up the charts. I have managed to order another camera. Hopefully the next one is going to be a little bit better than this. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please keep streaming on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Anchor, whatever platform you like. If you're on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, swap around. The people on audio, get onto YouTube. The people on YouTube, get onto audio. Follow the podcast, stream, like, comment, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. Follow me on my socials. I post TikTok summaries of games when I don't do episodes all the time, and I try to post them when I can. I'm getting a little bit busy now, but it's Mo Blogs. If you want to check it out, I'll put it here in the caption. You can follow the podcast on Instagram, which is Cricket Talks Pod, when I let people know of all the podcast updates if you don't keep up with me personally. And yeah, these episodes, these live ones, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please keep coming to these. If you want to join them, you can actually be part of the podcast by sharing your thoughts, and you can literally be part of the podcast episodes forever. As long as this podcast lasts, you're going to be part of it. When you just go to that episode and you can hear your name being mentioned, I'm sure that, I don't know how sick of a feeling it might be, but you can have the opportunity by just joining in. So join in. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I've been Mo Blogs. Like, comment, subscribe, stream, all of that. And I'll see you guys on the next episode of Cricket Talks.